Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. When you're invited to take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you, 603-283-6160 if you'd like to weigh in. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And I've been traveling a lot this year, more so than usual, really. And I've got a travel plans coming up next week. Sorry to the haters out there. I specifically scheduled it so I wouldn't miss Free Talk Live. You're going to have to get that week without me some other time. Next week, however, I will be flying, and according to this article, there have just been massive amounts of changes to the travel industry in the last year or two, and I just haven't seen it. It seems about the same as it's always been, but coming soon, they say, your face will be your boarding pass. Mm-hmm. Now, I suppose one of the changes I've seen was that I wasn't aware of the existence of digital boarding passes prior to my most recent flight, and I just used the paper ones.
Right.
And this one, I opted to just throw the paper ones down to the bottom of my purse and use the digital one instead, but the digital ones still existed then, so that wasn't really a change. It was just, now I'm aware of this easier method of doing this.
Is it easier?
I found it easier. Well, you can lose a piece of paper, right?
Sure.
If you lose your phone, you're in a world of hurt where catching the plane is the least of your worries, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it easier, but I don't know if easier is even the right word, because it's not like it's hard to take a sheet of paper with a QR code and slap it down on their little scanner.
Yeah, I've, I haven't done much traveling this year, but I have, gone a few places in previous years. And it's always just easy for me to reach in my pocket, pull out a piece of paper, and then, boom, I'm done. I don't have to unlock a phone. I don't have to,
well, there's
find
a difference
the program or whatever.
And that I wear skirts, and skirts almost never have pockets. For whatever reason, the people who design skirts are like, they don't need pockets.
Right.
But some skirts actually do. They're my favorite. But anyway.
Plus, women's clothes, when they do have pockets, they have girly pockets. You can't put anything in them.
I don't know. I've got a skirt that actually has, like, pretty deep, almost JNCO-style pockets.
That's unusual.
It is. Yeah. And the other skirt that I had that had pockets was pretty similar. But anyway, so it's more, it's not like it's hard to still reach into your purse and pull out a sheet of paper and scan it. It's just ever so slightly more convenient because your phone is probably already in an accessible place to start with.
Okay.
So it's not like it's a huge difference. It's just ever so slightly easier. But even easier.
But now they're talking about facial recognition.
Yes. Even easier would be just walking right by and letting the camera take a picture of your face. Not
no,
that I'm a fan
you.
Of that. There's a certain level of convenience I'm just not interested in.
No, I'm not interested in that either.
If it's been a year or more since you traveled, especially internationally, which could be the issue, I have not traveled internationally, you may notice something different at airports in the United States. More steps from checking a bag to clearing customs are being automated using biometrics. Hmm. That hasn't been my experience at all.
Okay.
And I went through, the Atlanta airport. I didn't have to go through TSA at Atlanta, though, because there was time for me to go out and smoke and still catch the flight. But the sheer size of the airport and the hassle that it would have been, it just wouldn't have been worth it. Biometrics are unique individual traits like fingerprints that can be used to automate and verify identity. And
there's been a push to do this for many years now.
And not just at the airports and the TSA, but your phone wants to scan your fingerprint. Mm-hmm. Please disable all of this stuff, because if you get pulled over, that cop can easily use your fingerprint to unlock your phone. And if they have probable cause to search your vehicle, they can cook up some sort of probable cause to search your phone. So just don't use these technologies. They sound convenient, but they're enormous security risks. They promise both more security and efficiency in moving travelers through an airport where, at steps from check-in to boarding, passengers are normally required to show government-issued photo identification. In the travel hiatus caused by the pandemic, many airports, airlines, tech companies, and government agencies continue to invest in biometric advancements. The need for social distancing and contactless interactions only added to the urgency. I wish instead of investing in this nonsense, they would invest in a button that allows them to say, this is a trans person. You absolutely do not need to fill them up. But they don't have that button.
Why? Wait, why would being trans mean you don't have to get felt up?
Okay.
I mean, everybody can
get phrased
felt
that badly.
Up, right?
By default, though, if you're trans and you go through TSA, you are going to get felt up. If they hit the male button, then the hooks in your bra will set it off. Mm-hmm. If they hit the female button, then your anatomy will set it off.
Is that a thing? They have a button for different...
Yes.
Huh.
And no matter which one of those two they hit, if you're a trans person... One way or the other, you're going to get felt
up.
See,
I always get felt up, and that's because I opt out of the scanner.
I don't really mind the scanner, but at this point of flying, I'm like, I know I'm going to get felt up anyway, so can I just go straight to that line and let's get this
over
with?
Just say opt out. They'll put you right in that line. There's never a line.
No,
you just have to wait.
There was never been a line that any instance that this happened. But it's also kind of funny to me to watch the TSA agents figure out how to
handle this.
Do this as delicately as possible because, they probably expect someone to start flipping out and videotaping the whole thing, and I'm just getting a kick out of it because it's funny. But always a good time. I wish they would invest in that instead of, this biometric nonsense.
Oh, but it seems like the airlines, just like the banks, seem to be, over the last 2 years, this COVID nonsense, the most government-obedient of industries, right?
Oh, banks have been insufferable.
Yeah, all to the max, every single, CDC guideline being followed to the T. It's just been absolutely sickening to watch this happen, and so it's no surprise that airlines are first and foremost to be adopting biometrics. I mean, banks did this also, with thumbprints. This was years ago. Some banks started to implement thumbprints to access various different services.
Yeah, through most of my life, I just considered it normal to have to put your fingerprint on any check you were signing or depositing.
Really?
Because that was the experience in Mississippi.
That's
I've got to New Hampshire and never encountered
it. Yeah, I've personally never encountered it, but I remember seeing video. I think one of the first videos I ever saw of Alex Jones was from the 90s when he was, young. And he was doing
back before the Russians invaded over the North Pole or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was. He was doing a public access show back then. And it was young Alex Jones inside some bank throwing a fit over biometric ID, and it was really entertaining. They wanted his thumbprint, and he threw a fit about it.
Well, good for him.
So they've been working on this for a long time.
They absolutely have, and it makes sense that, banks and airlines would be the most obedient, because banks in particular, there's a huge list of regulations and licenses and stuff they have to have, and if the government thinks they're not sufficiently obedient, they can threaten
they're
to
done.
Yank any one of those, and they're just done. But yeah, even the smaller credit unions around here in New Hampshire, they went full on psychosis with the COVID-19 lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
The bank I was using at the time, they completely closed their lobbies because evidently it's more important to prevent people from getting COVID-19 than it is to prevent the destruction of the environment. I'm not one of these environmentalists, right? But it can't be good for the environment to have 30 cars idling for hours at a time, just indefinitely, anytime they were open. Out there in the parking lot.
Don't forget all the masks floating around everywhere that have been, dumped in waterways and things like that. No, you don't hear the environmentalists complaining about that, do you?
No, and that's one of the worst parts about walking my dog throughout Keene is just all of the... I'm constantly just saying, leave it, because that's a command for her not to mess with. There's just discarded masks everywhere. So these technologies have gotten more sophisticated, and the accuracy rate is much higher, said Robert Tappan, the managing director for the trade group, some governmental or quasi-governmental agencies. I have to wonder whether or not he's including the giant discrepancy among success rates among white people and black people when it comes to these biometrics technologies. Because a number of years ago, I first became aware of this issue where, just the standard sensor that exists in most public bathrooms that detects your hand or whatever to dispense soap or water or paper towels, they just don't have a very high success rate for people who aren't white.
Really?
Yes. And I can't pull that up at the moment, but so I don't remember the numbers, but it was alarmingly unsuccessful. Like to the extent that it gives the impression that they didn't even test this with any people who were black, and instead focus entirely on people who are white. I'll see if I can find that, because that in and of itself was interesting and eye-opening. So I'd be curious if they have the same issue with biometrics, but based on the history, I would suggest that is probably the case. But I'm against it. Biometric screening, not something I'm a fan of. 603-283-6160. Maybe you can convince me that I'm wrong and that this is actually much easier and much safer. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Words and music. For the last year, the Federal Reserve has told us inflation is, in a word, transitory. But the Fed can't fight the music of inflation. It's what happens when we print trillions of dollars. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I've built the number one precious metals firm in the country by adding massive value. And Advantage Gold wants to earn your business by doing that for you right now. My best-selling gold inflation index report retails for $500. I want to email it to all serious investors with retirement accounts for free. No salespeople, no rigmarole, no gimmicks. Simply text the letters GII to 49776. I'll email you my best-selling gold inflation report right now. Text GII to 49776. That's GII to 49776. Let Advantage Gold add massive value, and then we'll ask for your business. Text GII to 49776.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. 323-6160 if you want to do that. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And we've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Well, Intercoin has finally launched its investor token worldwide, and for the first time, it's available on multiple exchanges. The easiest one is probably xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com. All you need there to sign up is an email address, which means you can actually keep your privacy intact in order to send. You can deposit different cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, trade them for Tether, and then use those to buy ITR. They're also on Uniswap. You can find links to all of that at their website. That's intercoin.org, intercoin.org. Now, we were talking about the upcoming hellscape that is going to be facial recognition at airports, which sounds scary, but realistically, I don't think technology is anywhere to that point. And I brought up how even your average, you know, faucet and soap dispenser in public bathrooms, you know, relatively simple but extremely common technology, is not at a point where it's able to handle black Americans versus white Americans. And so I looked up a bit into that, and I have an article about it that I really think is worth more discussing than whatever nonsense the government has planned in the future, because they've got all sorts of plans. They're the best plans, and absolutely nothing will go wrong, as always. But racist soap dispensers is what this headline is calling them. In public bathrooms are not giving up their soap for black people, according to a viral YouTube video. The revelation could come as a relief for countless darker-skinned people who thought they were going mad or being ignored. An African-American guest at a sci-fi convention in Atlanta did a test at the Atlanta Marriott, along with his white friend, to prove the soap dispensers would not recognize dark skin. The two can be heard laughing throughout the video, which clocked 3 million views. He told tech website Mike, "I wasn't offended, but it was intriguing. Like, why is it not recognizing me? I tried all of the soap dispensers in that restroom. There were maybe 10, and none of them worked. But all 10 worked for his white friend. Anytime I went into that restroom, I had to have my friend get the soap for me."
That's so crazy.
I know. I mean, it's funny when you hear about this, but when you think about it in those terms, if this guy has to go to the bathroom, he doesn't have a white friend, he just can't have soap.
Can't wash.
Yeah, that's absurd. And even if he could get soap, how is he supposed to activate the sink?
So this is using some sort of a camera? I would have expected they were using, like, I don't know, a laser or some sort of radar or something.
They sort of are, and that's the issue. Richard Whitney from tech company Particle explained why soap dispensers and other technology have problems with darker skin types. He said, "The soap dispenser uses near-infrared technology, which sends out invisible light from an infrared LED bulb for hands to reflect the light back to a sensor."
And black hands won't reflect it.
Or at least not as much. Mm-hmm. The reason the soap doesn't just foam out all day is because the hand acts to more or less bounce back the light and close the circuit.
Wow.
If the reflective object actually absorbs that light instead, as a darker skinned home would, then the sensor will never trigger because not enough light gets to it.
Wow. So I wonder how many soap dispensers are using this technology versus, say, using a motion detector technology, which should be able to detect.
It seems like motion detector would also be easier.
But which one's cheaper?
And more common?
Yeah, I don't know. Which one's cheaper? Because some manufacturers want to go all the way cheap, right, and put the cheapest potential technology in there to lower their manufacturing costs. So that's probably a factor.
It's just alarming to me that, you know, roughly 13% of the American population would, like, not even be factored into the design of this technology. Like, obviously, if you're the person inventing this, you're like, okay, that the hands is going to reflect the IR light back. Okay, well, what about darker hands? Like 13% of the American population has.
Nobody thought about that, apparently.
Never even occurred to them. The soap dispenser is another example of technology not recognizing different body types. In 2010, GadgetWise reported that the Xbox Kinect did not recognize the faces of dark-skinned gamers.
Wow.
Hewlett-Packard's uneven facial recognition software also had problems. And here's the worst one, and the one why I wanted to carry on with this article. Google Photos' auto-labeling system misidentified two black friends as gorillas.
Oh, my God.
So when I hear stuff like this, and I hear that the government and the TSA, they plan to implement facial recognition technology, I'm just like, yeah, no, you're not. They can't even figure out how, I mean, if Microsoft can't figure out how to recognize black gamers, then the TSA, who's not motivated to make a profit, has no chance of figuring this out.
Well, they're not going to do it themselves. They will hire a corporation and pay them big, big bucks, you know, from taxpayers to get whatever this technology is.
And that corporation will probably devise some sort of solution that works just fine for most white people, mm-hmm. but doesn't ever actually factor into the reality that, you know, roughly half the population here in the United States isn't just white.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about the government and their facial recognition system, but they're working on iris scanning. They've been touting it as the most foolproof. Yeah, absolutely not, man. For biometrics to work, you have to be able to match to a known trusted source of data because you're trying to compare it to a record on file. The face is the easiest because all the documents we use that prove your identity, driver's licenses, passports, etc., rely on face. And of course, they already have a picture of your face. That's why
sure they do.
That's why the TSA agent takes a look at your ID and then looks at you and mm-hmm. they go, "Can you pull down your mask for me?" And you go, "Fine," because you've got to get on your flight. Mm. So they already use this, but it's humans doing it, which I guess I'm less bothered by. It's never occurred to me to be concerned about handing someone my ID so they could verify that it's actually me. But that's different than logging that in a computer.
Well, they've been, by the way, you said you haven't done international travel, but the process of coming back into the United States is pretty invasive. They're not doing iris scans yet, but they are taking your photograph at some sort of like kiosk, basically. So as soon as you come back in, you land at whatever international airport in the United States, they shuffle you off the plane, you go through, you know, the tunnels or wherever it is, you finally get to this big room, and then there's a bunch of these kiosks, these sort of Orwellian techno kiosks that have cameras in them, and they take your picture and they print out a piece of paper with your photo on it, and then you have to go and see a bureaucrat after that, and it's a very, very invasive feeling.
And this is for even an American citizen with an American yes. passport and everything.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, you have to put your passport on the device, and so it scans the passport, then takes your picture.
I can't fly internationally, but it sounds like, at the moment, because of legal conditions, but it sounds like a horrible process.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how they're treating an American citizen.
That's correct.
Someone who actually, like, lived here and came here, and for whatever reason, like, you know what? I like that tyranny. I want to go back.
Right. It's creepy. I'll tell you, it's creepy.
It sounds creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, these little kiosks, I can't imagine. So some of this embrace may come from its everyday application, as we mentioned, using facial recognition to open your phone or access your banking app. I can't imagine most people are really going to take issue with this, that they have to get their iris scanned at some sort of TSA checkpoint. I'm going to take issue with it, but most people are just going to, you know, go along to get along, to get on their flight a little bit faster, not to cause any problems. I don't see this technology coming anytime soon, though, because of all of the problems with it. But I could be wrong, and I don't want to see it coming anytime soon, so I choose to be hopeful. The U.S. government will collapse itself long before it has the ability to be this perverted and invasive of people's lives.
You're right.
603-283-6160. If you want to join us, there's more coming up. It's Free Talk.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News. Senator Ted Cruz slammed President Joe Biden during a speech on the Senate floor Tuesday over the unfolding crisis in Ukraine. Tens of thousands of Russian soldiers have amassed near its border, and experts say an invasion may be looming.
This calamitous foreign policy disaster is Joe Biden's fault. This is the direct consequence of Joe Biden's surrender to Vladimir Putin on Nord Stream 2.
Nord Stream 2 is a pipeline being constructed from Russia to Germany, which will carry natural gas. A federal judge in Georgia issued a nationwide injunction preventing the U.S. government from enforcing a COVID-19 vaccine mandate on federal contractors. The move temporarily shuts down the last remaining vaccine requirement by the Biden administration. Seven states and a trade group for contractors filed suit. You're listening to USA Radio News. A Democrat-backed provision to this year's military funding bill that would have opened the door to women being drafted will reportedly be dropped from the final version of the legislation. The American Principles Project tweeted, quote, "Thank you to Senator Josh Hawley and every other Republican who stood up and fought against drafting our daughters," unquote. The Missouri Republican dogged the proposal to the very end. The chairman and vice chair of the committee investigating January 6th on Tuesday threatened former President Donald Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, with contempt of Congress charges if he fails to testify when he appears before the panel Wednesday. Democrat Chairman Benny Thompson and Republican Vice Chair Liz Cheney issued a statement after Meadows said he would stop cooperating and would not testify. Meadows served as a Republican House member until he joined Trump's administration last year. And former Empire actor Jussie Smollett concluded his testimony on Tuesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Whatever matters to you, 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Ari and Ian, and we're giving away another BitBox here in the coming weeks. I actually, for Ukraine 79 out there, I actually got the shipping information for the tracking information for the one that you won. I just have to actually forward that to you because I didn't do it before I came here. So we're giving away another one. It's a hardware wallet, but unlike other wallets, BitBox's software is 100% open source, which helps to avoid some of the problems that other hardware wallets sometimes have. If you want a chance to win one, all you have to do is join the AMPS program at amps.freetalklive.com. You don't have to take a screenshot, don't have to join any social media service, just be on Patreon or create a Patreon account. It's super easy. And sign up to follow us or to support us there. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We'll be choosing one of our supporters at random on an episode of Free Talk Live in the future. And although we like to be able to offer a bonus to our supporters, the real reason you should join is because you want to support the show. But hey, free hardware wallet wouldn't hurt. So check it out at amps.freetalklive.com. All the amplifiers will be an automatic winner, will be eligible to be a winner, whether you've been in the program since its inception or if you just joined just for the giveaway. amps.freetalklive.com. Talking earlier about biometrics and stuff like that, but you have a story about movie theaters, and I like discussing things like that a lot more than I like discussing nonsense like COVID-19 and government lockdowns and just the fear and gloom. I like stories about video games and movies and music and stuff like that because it's just more interesting to me on a personal level.
Well, unfortunately, this story has to do with COVID-19 because basically the crackdown on business freedom is what has really harmed these movie theater businesses.
But haven't they been sort of going downhill for a long time anyway?
Yeah, they have. And that is something that happened after the crackdown, you know, from 2020 on COVID-19 or related to COVID-19 was a lot of the businesses that were going down, you know, over the last two decades started to go down much faster. And newspapers, for instance, were another example of that.
Yeah.
And movie theaters are in that same category of old media, something that was struggling in the last decade. And they tried to, of course, introduce 3D movies in, I think it was 2009 with Avatar as like, ooh, look, new reason to come to the theater. And that's basically
gone
now.
I remember that nonsense. And James Cameron was like, oh, 3D is not just a fad this time. This time it's here to stay. All of the movies are going to be in 3D from now on.
It did take off for a little while. I mean, there were a lot of people that were producing 3D movies. There was a number of years there where I would say more movies were 3D than weren't. And now
that's true, but it was still
it's hard to find one. Now it's hard to find a single 3D movie that's out there right now.
I think Saw 3D was the last 3D movie that I knew of existing.
When was that?
At the time. I don't know, man. The Saw movies are a nightmare of continuity. I have no idea when Saw 3D came out.
When I was on the Keen Cinemas website, which is our local, it's not a chain, it's just a local, you know, six cinema thing here, whatever you call it, six movie theater, six theater cinema. Anyway, they have their show times, and they would put asterisks next to whatever ones were in 3D, and I was shocked to see that I think Dune had like two 3D showings on the first week of Dune being out there, and then the next week there was nothing. And so it made me think maybe somebody at the theater just made a mistake. Like, I couldn't believe that, like, why would you have just two 3D showings and then not show 3D anymore? I mean, I guess they charged more for 3D, but now there's
but
not...
But why? It can't be more expensive other than, like, having to wash the glasses afterward, right?
I don't know. They always charged more for 3D.
They did, but I never understood why. I mean, it costs more to produce the 3D movie, sure, but it doesn't cost more
to show it. Especially when it's all being shown on the same digital projectors. But now on their website, all they say for pricing is new films are $6.50 and classic films are $5. So there's no longer...
I paid more than that when I was a teenager going out on dates to the local theater, dude. It was like $12 a ticket then.
Yeah, so there's no longer a 3D category for at all, like as far as price point. So I don't think they're showing 3D films. I think it was a fluke. I think somebody accidentally like hit the 3D button on the whatever form they're filling out. Because I've not seen a 3D movie. Maybe there's like maybe in big cities this is still happening. Maybe some movies are still being released in 3D. I'd be curious to know if that's the case. But I suspect it's like what happened with the 3D televisions. They manufactured them for a few years, and then there just weren't enough people that were buying them, and that was it.
I don't know. Evidently, Dune did have a 3D version.
Okay. Well, then maybe they showed two showings for those that still care about 3D. And I'll say this. I thought it was a cool gimmick. You know, to me, it wasn't like, ooh, the best thing ever.
It was cool.
It wasn't like the technology wasn't fantastic. Sometimes I forget the effect. There was like a certain effect that I would get watching the 3D movies with these glasses, and I can't even, you know, I can't describe what it was. It was like this weird visual sensation or warping or something like that, and I could ignore it mostly and still enjoy the movie, but I'm not sad to see it go. It doesn't really make the experience that much better.
I honestly think Avatar was the only movie I watched in 3D.
Oh, I've seen a bunch of them.
And the rest of them, I was just like, yeah, I'm not interested. But I wasn't watching a lot of movies then. I do want to see the new Dune movie. After
it looks good.
Conan talks so much about Dune, but
I've never seen the original though, so I won't be able to compare.
I haven't either, but I feel like I would be disappointing Conan if I didn't read the books first.
Oh, okay.
Or at least the first book first. Mm-hmm. So watching the actual movie is on the back burner. Plus,
how many books are there?
I don't know. A lot.
Okay, so you haven't started yet then?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. It sounds interesting, though, and it sounds like something that I would enjoy. Mm-hmm. Is just reading a book is a monumental time sink. You know, reading a book takes a lot of time. Watching a movie takes like 2 hours.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons I generally prefer books to movies, but I don't have, you know, the time to sit around.
You prefer books to movies?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't have, you know, 17 hours to sit around reading a book like I did back when I was 16.
Yeah.
So you got to make sacrifices.
So here's a story from, in this case, the New York Times, thanks to archive.ph for getting us by that nasty old paywall. Los Angeles, about 49% of pre-pandemic moviegoers are no longer buying tickets. Some of them, roughly 8%, have likely been lost forever. To win back the rest, multiplex owners must urgently rethink pricing and customer perks, in addition to focusing on coronavirus safety.
See, I don't know about that last one, but the rest of it, I certainly get. There's not much reason when the average American already has, you know, a soundbar and a subwoofer, because for whatever reason, surround sound systems sort of went away, and they're kind of hard to find.
Really?
Yeah, when I was looking for my bedroom, I was just shopping around, you know, local places.
You mean like one box,
yeah.
All the speakers, the receiver, all in one box kind of systems?
Yeah. And they just completely phased out at all these stores. Your options were a sound bar that comes with a subwoofer, and that was pretty much it.
Huh.
You could go online and buy one still.
Sure.
But you couldn't find one in the stores like you could back in the early 2010s or whatever. I found that to be a curious transition, but whatever, not a big deal. The average American does have a somewhat decent sound system.
Do they? How do you know that?
I don't know that. I'm just sort of assuming.
Okay.
I know they have a decent television.
Well, yeah, because all televisions these days are decent, but a lot of televisions have crap speakers in them, and, you know, I don't know. I'd be interested to find out how many Americans are suffering with bad audio from their television speakers and have not bought a sound bar, as you describe it.
See, I can't imagine it's very many, and I realize that I treat audio differently from the average American, but
so do I.
I didn't even have a television.
Which is why I don't make presumptions about what the average American's doing.
Yeah, and I'm rethinking that now, but I didn't even have a television for the longest time, and now I do. And, like, within the first 5 minutes of trying to use the television speakers, I was like, no, this has to change. And I ended up buying a better sound system just because the quality of the built-in television speakers are...
It's crap.
It's absolutely awful. Yeah. I'd rather sit there with a pair of headphones on.
Right.
Like a $5 pair of headphones from Walmart would be better. So I don't know what percentage of Americans are actually like, oh, my God, this sounds terrible, but...
But how many Americans for years just sufficed with a 20-inch screen with whatever speaker was in that screen, an old CRT set in the 1980s and 90s? I mean,
I don't know. I'm really hoping I can dig up some information on this.
Yes.
Now I'm really curious.
I'm curious to see if anybody's done any studies. But we can talk more about what's happening with theaters. They're in a tough spot financially.
Hopefully they'll continue on because I think it's an industry worth seeing. 603-283-6160.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift. An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. It'll alert you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live with Aria and Ian, and I want to say thank you to Colby Keddington, who is tonight's amplifier. This means that Colby Keddington is eligible to win the BitBox that we're going to be giving away soon, but it also means that Colby has chosen to give money to the AMPS program to join our Patreon. You can find it at amps.freetalklive.com. It only costs $5 per month. That gets you in. And it comes with a number of cool little features like this giveaway that we're doing, but it also an AMP-only chat on our Matrix server, an AMP-only Facebook group, and some cool stuff like that. But really, you should join because you like the show. You want to help the ideas of liberty reach larger audiences like Colby here has done. Colby is a gold-level amplifier, which is $10 per month. We don't ask that. Again, it's just $5 per month. That gets you in. So thank you, Colby, for your contributions. We hope you continue supporting the show. And having now looked into it as best as I can, it seems I was wrong. Soundbar technology has penetrated roughly 20% of households in the United States. There was also a lengthy thing that I looked at about why the soundbar replaced the surround sound system, and it was ultimately because movies and televisions didn't really ever put to use the multi-channels, the rear speakers, the front speakers, always just left or right speaker when it came to movies and televisions. And this is why I probably never noticed that, because so much of my use of surround sound...
Well, that's not true of movies. Movies are all encoded with surround sound.
Okay.
And have been for many years. But television, I think, probably you're more likely to see less of that.
Absolutely. But video games certainly use full surround sound features, and that was probably why I never noticed it, or just because a lot of music does as well. If you listen to, you know, complex musical arrangements, you're going to find it on the latest Taylor Swift album, but you'll find plenty of arrangements that do use full surround sound. So I was wrong.
According to, by the way, this a study over at GrandviewResearch.com, this was published in August of 2019, And looking at data from 2018, they say that 40% of U.S. households have some form of a home theater system. Now, that is broken down into three different categories. The home theater in a box that you were referring to in the last segment, that seems to have gone out of style. At least you can't find it at stores anymore. That's actually the super majority of, looks like close to, they're not showing the actual percentages. There's like a, just a graph, like a pie graph, but it looks like it's close to almost 75%. Of the market have, remember, that's of the 40%, right? So 40% have home theater. Of that 40%, 75% of them have the home theater in a box.
Now, I'm surprised by that because when I was setting up my bedroom, I opted for just the soundbar and the subwoofer because it was just for watching movies and stuff like that, so I didn't care anyway. But when I built the actual movie area, I just hand-built my own surround sound system.
That would be what's called a component system, and that is the least popular way of setting up a home theater.
Well, yeah, it's not easy. You have to know what you're doing. But that was because when I looked on Amazon for like a 7.1 system, they wanted like $6,000 and stuff like that. And I don't know if it's just because Amazon lost their mind and was only showing me the ultra high-end models or what, but I was like, no, I can get these speakers here and do this myself.
And so soundbar is the second most popular method with about, I'm going to say, a little less than 25% of the home theater market is using the soundbar at this point.
So people prefer simplicity over better quality, I'm guessing?
Simplicity, it makes sense. I mean, for the reasons you're pointing out, if they, you know, don't really care about getting the surround, but they want better than the TV speakers, the soundbar is easy to do. You don't have to run cables around the living room or whatever. So it's a simple way to get better sound in one step.
Yeah, but it's not as good.
It's better than the TV.
It is better than the TV. I cannot believe that roughly 60% of Americans are watching movies using speakers that sound like Coca-Cola cans. That hurts me on so many levels.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what'll keep the movie business in business because...
I mean, that should be the number one advertisement. Hey, are you sick of listening to your movies through a Coke can?
Right.
Come
listen
to
them here.
We've
got real speakers. And so right now, according to the story over at the New York Times, the business of the movie theater business is having a difficult time. And as you pointed out, Aria, it was troubled before COVID-19. Attendance was declining. Streaming services were, of course, taking off. And it has struggled to rebound from coronavirus forced closings in 2020. Over the weekend, ticket sales in the U.S. and Canada stood at roughly $96 million, compared with $181 million over the same period in 2019. So that is a huge drop in revenue.
Yeah, it absolutely is. The last movie that I think I went and saw in theaters, that, well, other than Free Guy, would have been one of the Harry Potter movie sequels. I don't remember exactly.
So you watched
the classic? It was Fantastic Beasts or something like that. Okay. It was one of the newer ones.
But one of the $5 showings that they have there.
No, it was one of the newer ones. This was like two, maybe three years ago.
Oh, you saw it brand new. I see.
And there was like me, my date, and maybe three other people in the audience. So this was the opening night of the movie.
The only time I've ever seen a line outside of the Keen Cinemas was for the first of the newer Star Wars that came out, The Force Awakens. There was a line for that one.
Okay.
But that's the only time I've seen. That was like, what, a decade ago now at this point? Or almost, you know, several years ago?
God, yeah.
Most of a decade. And so I have not seen it. Now, then again, like, I'm not the guy who goes on a Friday night, because I'm usually here working, or a Saturday night for that matter. So maybe there are some nights where it's actually busy. The times I go, it's like what you're describing. There's usually never more than a spattering of people in the theater.
Yeah, in general, I wouldn't want to go to a movie theater on a Friday night. I get the experience of, you know, enjoying the movies with others, all that.
Yeah.
But when you're talking 50, 60, 70 people, no, there's probably going to be some idiot there being too loud.
Or a crying baby or something like that. And these are a lot of reasons why the business was having a difficult time to begin with, right? Because you can control your environment at home. You can pause the movie if you have to go pee or whatever. You know, it's
a good feature, right? Yeah. Being able to just pause the movie and walk away.
The popcorn's not $20 or whatever the hell it is they're charging for concessions these days. There's a lot of reasons to not go to the theater. But revenues are down big time, and the study was published by Quorum, a film research company. According to the story here, they run this survey once a quarter. Quote, the research clearly shows theaters are suffering because the pandemic intensified, accelerated, amplified all of the nascent trends that were already underway, the study author said. That is the definition of a perfect storm. Not that various problems exist at the same time, but they have an intensifying effect on each other, unquote. The nascent trends, rising ticket and concession prices, decreasing experiential value, including the perception that moviegoing has become a hassle. The rundown state of shopping malls, which house many theaters. A generational shift towards streaming, gaming, and other smartphone-based entertainment. But why anyone would think they can replace the moviegoing experience by watching on a smartphone, doesn't make sense to me.
I don't get that one.
Quote, before, maybe you went every now and again, overlooking the drawbacks, the author said. Now you add safety concerns to that mix, if you're a pussy. And you suddenly
What are the drawbacks of going to the, having to drive to the movie theater?
That's one.
That's not...
You know, wait in line, potentially. Like you mentioned, crying babies, somebody kicking the back of your seat. I mean, there's potential drawbacks to going and seeing a movie.
I guess, but they're so minor compared to what you get in return that... Watching it through your television speakers and listening to it through your television speakers, it's
not even close.
No.
Yes. So I tend to agree with you that, you know, if I want to go see a movie in the best possible format, I'm going to go to the theater. It still is the best experience, as long as it's not a crappy experience, which it can be ruined by a large crowd of people being unruly or whatever, or somebody's on their phone or whatever the problem is. Thankfully, the groups of people watching are so small and keen, I've not had a bad issue with, like, bad people, you know, at the theater. There was one person who was, I think, a little not so smart that was in the theater, I think, during Free Guy or something. Or maybe it was during, no, it was during Gremlins. You weren't there for that. Bonnie and I were. There was somebody who was, let's say, a little less than with it mentally in the theater, sort of making comments aloud. But it wasn't a huge issue. But you never know who you're going to get back there.
A lot of the appeal of watching movies with friends is making these sorts of comments throughout the movie. But
that's true.
But in those circumstances, you sort of expect that. You don't do it in public at the movie theater.
The research company surveyed a bunch of people, 2,500 plus, that visited a theater in 2019. Some bought a ticket once a week. Others went once a month. Others went several times per year.
I'm thinking 2020, never mind. But
about 51% of respondents said they had bought tickets in recent months, with some drawn by cinema chain rewards programs. Those are largely white men, ages 25 to 45, who live in cities, according to the author. Once you get outside of that demographic, you're really starting to lose people, he said. The 49% no longer buying tickets were more likely to be in favor of a vaccine mandate for attendees. This group, predominantly female, was also more likely to be concerned about price and value. Still,
they're also the ones who aren't watching movies, though, right? Is that not what he said?
That's what he was saying. Yeah, and they're, you know, cowards.
Yeah, so well, clearly.
Anyway, that's pretty much it. They're having a difficult time, and I wish them the best. I mean, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see them go away.
I don't either, but the $12 for a small bucket of popcorn is not helping things.
I haven't bought a movie theater concession in, I don't know how long.
Yeah, I haven't either. I can't imagine anyone who still does.
Somebody must, because that's what keeps them in business.
But we're out of time for tonight. You can join us in the meantime on our chat server at chat.freetalklive.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.